Hey, hello, hello, hello. Here's Marlanka again. Continuing with The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle. You are not your mind. The greatest obstacle to enlightenment. Now, enlightenment, what is that? A baker had been sitting by the road for over 30 years, and one day, as a stranger passed by, "Spare some change," mumbled the beggar, mechanically holding out his old baseball cap. "I've nothing to give you," said the stranger. Then he asked, "What's that you're sitting on?" "Nothing," replied the old man beggar. "Just an old box. I've been sitting on it for as long as I can remember." "Ever looked inside?" asked the stranger. "No," said the beggar. "What's the point? There's nothing in there." The stranger insisted, "Have a look inside." The beggar managed to pry open the lid, and with astonishment, disbelief, and elation, he saw that the box was filled with gold. "Well, I'm that stranger who has nothing to give you and who is telling you only to look inside. Not inside any box as in the story, but somewhere even closer, inside yourself. But I'm not a beggar, I can hear you telling me." Well, those who have not found their true wealth, which is the radiant joy of being and the deep, unshakable peace that comes with it, are beggars, even if they have great material wealth. For they are looking outside for scraps of pleasure or fulfillment, for validation, security, or love, while they have a treasure within that not only includes all those things, but is infinitely greater than anything in the world that the world can offer. The word enlightenment conjures up the idea of some superhuman accomplishment, and our ego likes to keep it that way, but it is simply your natural state of felt oneness with being. It is a state of connectedness with something immeasurable and indestructible, something that, almost paradoxically, is essentially you, and yet is much greater than you. It is finding your true nature beyond name and form. Now, the inability to feel this connectedness gives rise to the illusion of separation from yourself and from the world around you, and then you perceive yourself consciously or unconsciously as an isolated fragment. Fear arises, and conflict within and without becomes the norm. I love the Buddha's simple definition of enlightenment as the end of suffering. There's nothing superhuman in that, is there? Of course, as a definition, it is incomplete. It only tells you what enlightenment is not: no suffering. But what's left when there is no more suffering? The Buddha is silent on that, and his silence implies that you'll have to find out for yourself. He uses a negative definition so that the mind cannot make it into something to believe in, or into a superhuman accomplishment, an impossible goal to be attained. Despite this precaution, the majority of Buddhists still believe that enlightenment is only for the Buddha, not for them, at least not in this lifetime. Now let's explain the word being. Being is the eternal, ever-present, one life beyond the myriad forms of life that are subject to birth and death. However, being is not only beyond, but also deep within every form as its innermost, invisible, and indestructible essence. This means that it is accessible to you now as your own deepest self, your true nature. But don't seek to grasp it with your mind. Don't try to understand it. You can know it only when your mind is still. When you are present. When your attention is fully and intensely in the now. Then being can be felt. But it can never be understood mentally. To regain awareness of being and to abide in that state of feeling, realization, is, in fact, enlightenment. You may ask, when we say being, are we talking about God? The word God has become empty of meaning through thousands of years of misuse. I do use it sometimes, but I do so sparingly. By misuse, I mean that people who have never even glimpsed the realm of the sacred, the infinite vastness behind that word, use it with great conviction, as if they knew what they were talking about, or what they were arguing about, as if they even knew what it was they are denying. This misuse of the word God gives rise to absurd beliefs, assertions, egoic delusions such as my or our God is the only true God and your God is false, or Nietzsche's famous statement, God is dead. And so the word God has become a closed concept. The moment the word is uttered, a mental image is created, no longer perhaps of an old man with a white beard, but still a mental representation of someone or something outside you, and yes, almost inevitably a male someone or something. Neither God nor being nor any other word can define or explain the ineffable reality behind the word. So the important question, the only question, is whether the word is a help or a hindrance in enabling you to experience that toward which it points. Does it point beyond itself to that transcendental reality? Or does it lend itself too easily to becoming no more than an idea in your head that you believe in, a mental idol? And so the word being explains nothing, nor does God. Being, however, has the advantage that it is an open concept. It does not reduce the infinite invisible to a finite entity. And it's impossible to form a mental image of it. And no one can claim exclusive possession of being. Being is your very essence. And it is immediately accessible to you as the feeling of your own presence. The realization, I am that, prior to I am this, or I am other. So it is only a small step from the word being to the experience of being. And so we might well ask, what is the greatest obstacle to experiencing this reality? The answer is simple. Identification with your mind, with your thoughts. This causes thought to become compulsive. Not to be able to stop thinking is a dreadful affliction. But we don't realize this because almost everyone is suffering from it. So it's considered normal. This incessant mental noise prevents you from finding that realm of inner stillness that is inseparable from being. And it also creates a false mind-made self that casts a shadow of fear and suffering. We shall look at all that in more detail later. The philosopher Descartes believed that he had found the most fundamental truth when he made his famous statement, "I think, therefore I am." He had, in fact, given expression to the most basic error, to equate thinking with being and identity with thinking. The compulsive thinker, which means almost everyone, lives in a state of apparent separateness, in an insanely complex world of continuous problems and conflict, a world that reflects the ever-increasing fragmentation of the mind. Enlightenment is a state of wholeness, of being at one, and therefore at peace. At one with life in its manifested aspect, the world, as well as with your deepest self, and life unmanifesting at one with being. And so you see, enlightenment is not only the end of suffering and of continuous conflict within and without, but also the end of the dreadful enslavement to incessant thinking. What an incredible liberation this is. Identification with your mind creates an opaque screen of concepts, labels, images, words, judgments, and definitions that block all true relationship. Why, it comes between you and yourself, between you and your fellow man and woman, between you and nature, between you and God. It is this screen of thought that creates the illusion of separateness, the illusion that there is you and a totally separate other. You then forget the essential fact that underneath the level of physical appearances and separate forms, you are one with all that is. By forget, I mean that you can no longer feel this oneness as self-evident reality. You may believe it to be true, but you no longer know it to be true. A belief may be comforting. Only through your own experience, however, does it become liberating. Thinking has become a disease. Dis-ease. That happens when things get out of balance. For example, there's nothing wrong with cells dividing and multiplying in the body. But when this process continues in disregard of the total organism, cells proliferate and we become ill. The mind is a superb instrument if used rightly. Used wrongly, however, it becomes very destructive. To put it more accurately, it's not so much that you use your mind wrongly. You usually don't use it at all. It uses you. And this is the disease, the dis-ease, the lack of ease. You believe that you are your mind. And this is the delusion. The instrument, your mind, has taken you over. We shall continue with this fascinating topic in the next episode. Thank you for listening. And anyone who would like to delve further into this can avail themselves of The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle, readily, easily available in so many languages. Thank you for listening, and we'll return for the next episode next week. Bye for now.
This is Auroville Radio, voices from the City of Dawn.